Hi there, welcome to Shiloh Tabernacle London. We're located in Southeast London in Woolwich Dockyard, Block 1, Unit 9, Dockyard Industrial Estate, Woolwich Church Street, SC18 5PQ. Join us for our Bible study every Friday from 7:30 to 9 p.m. and you can't miss our Sunday services packed with prayer, vibrant worship and a powerful word. First service is 9 a.m. to 10:30, followed by our family service from 10:30 to 12:30. And now, for the best part, let's get into the Word.
Yeah, this morning we were in the morning glory. We are praying about love. The Holy Spirit took us into the area of love. We drew our scripture from Philemon 5, or Philemon, if you want to call me Philemon. In my language, they would call him Philemon. He was talking about praying for this church, and he says, "We praise for them because he hears of their love and of their faith. Their love and faith toward Jesus first and foremost, and then for all the saints." So God wants us to not only have love for him, but also love for others. As a matter of fact, we know that without love for others, our love for God is not there, because the Bible says, how can you say that you love God yet you hate the person that you see? So we need to pray for more love. Amen. And this evening, I just want us to learn how to utilize God's love. How to utilize God's love. God's love is for is given to us for a purpose. He loved us, and you know, God loves us not because we are worthy. He loves us just because he loves us. We are his children, and he expects us to utilize the love that he gives us to pass it on. Hallelujah. He expects us to be conduits of his love. Amen. Do you know that God loves you? Do you know that God loves you? Are you sure that God loves you? Are you convinced that God loves you? Because there are many who are not convinced at all that God loves them. You understand? Whatever it is that you're going through, I can assure you that God loves you. You know, the Bible tells us that he so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. Just that alone, because he sent his only begotten Son, that you and I may be delivered from death. And that is love everlasting. His love is enduring forever. Amen. And he wants you and I to have that kind of love. Paul talks about love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8. He says, love never ends. Love never ends. Love must never end. The love of our Father never ends. It is everlasting. We know that, yeah? Yes. And so he expects us also to have everlasting love for other people. It's not easy. But that's what he expects of you and I. That love should never end. That's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8. He says, all prophecies will pass away. All prophecies will pass away. But you know one thing that will not pass away, that shouldn't pass away, is love. It says, for the tongues, they will also cease. For knowledge, it will also pass away. But love never ends. Amen. So this is how we need to utilize love. Number one, how do you utilize love? You utilize love by looking for the best in others. Looking for the best in others. Because that's what God does. He looks for the best in you. No matter what the situation says, no matter what people tell you, there is good in you. You are a good person. You are inherently a good person. There is the goodness of the Lord is in you. So when we are interacting with other people, because God, when he looks at us, he looks for the best in us, we too must look for the best in others. Amen. Look for the best in others. Every person that you meet, every person has some good in them. You miss a very good place where to say amen. Every good person, every person has good in them, and we need to look for that good. If we are to interact with the people, if we are to connect with the people, if we are to work with the people, if we are to serve with the people, if we are to live with the people, look for the best in them. Hallelujah. Amen. Romans chapter 13, verse 10 says, love does no wrong to a neighbor. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is fulfilling the law. Love is fulfilling the law. This is one thing that we all must know. Everyone makes mistakes. Everyone means everyone. As long as they are not Jesus, as long as they are not God, they will make mistakes. Amen. Everyone has faults. Everyone has faults. Everyone makes mistakes and everyone has faults. Hallelujah. But there's also good in everyone. That is how we are created. As much as we make faults, as much as rather we make mistakes, as much as we have faults, we also have some good. So we usually find that we are looking, somebody says, we will always look, find what we're looking for in people. We'll always look or find what we're looking for in people. If you are looking for the bad in the people, you will find it because it's there. If you're looking for the good in people, you will find it because it's there. But because we are of God, we do not look for the worst in people. We look for the best in them. Hallelujah. We do not search for faults. We do not, record faults. No. We look for the best in the people. And when we get the best in the people, we augment that. We develop it. We help them to develop that good. Love is a positive attitude, my friend. Because it reaches for the best. It reaches for the highest. Christ. You know, we are inherently sinners. That's what David says in Psalm 51. He said, I was born in sin. You understand? But even in that, in that sin, in that, that garment of dirt, God still looks for the best. He still looks for something in that. The gold that you see, the silver that you see, came out of that, of dirt. You understand? What you are becoming, have not yet arrived. I don't know about you, but okay, let me just detach myself from you. I have not yet arrived. You understand? I'm still in the process of being made. You are still in the process of being made. God is making diamonds out of dirt. Who would want to associate with dirt? If you see the miners, these guys who mine the gold or the diamonds, when they are digging out those ores, it's just everything is dirt. But because they know that there is good in that dirt, they take their time to make sure that they extract the good out of that dirt. Hallelujah. They extract the diamond and they polish it. The diamond, by the time the diamond hits the shop or the jewelry, it's not what it used to be. It has been polished. You know why? Because somebody went into the dirt and got out this ore and began to work on it. That's how God is working on me. That's how God is working on you, my friend. That's how God is working on your neighbor. That's how God is working on your colleague. That's how God is working on your fellow minister. So do not concentrate on the dirt that you see in them. No, God is working on them. As a matter of fact, if the mirror was turned on you, hey, there is a lot of dirt in you. Do you understand? There is something that, but because God, the love of God loves us irrespective. The love of God is not conditional. It's not predicated upon my goodness. No. We don't deserve. You understand? I don't deserve. Your neighbor does not deserve. But you love him. We love him because God, Jesus Christ first loved us. We love him with the love of God. We are utilizing the love of God. The love of God is not only for you. The love of God is supposed to be passed on. So the question is there love in church? That's the question we must ask ourselves this evening. Is there love? Do we love one another? Or is it cliche? You understand? Do we love one another? That is a big question that we must go away with. If we say we love, what do we love in people? Do we love people because they were good to us? You remember Jesus Christ said, if you love only those who have been good to you, then what is the difference between you and those in the world? We love because we are commissioned. Paul says, the love of Christ compels me. The love of Christ has got to compel you. It's got to compel you to love that neighbor who is unbecoming. You need not. What am I trying to say? We need to shift from looking for the mistakes and looking for the good in other people. That's what he's saying. Remember, we are spelling the word love. L looks for look for the best in others. You understand? Now, number two, offer Christ's love to others. After you have found the good in them, offer Christ's love to them. Because like I said, in every person, there is a good person and there is that inherent, that sin that keeps coming. You know, there are some things that will not look nice to you. And listen, we see people as we are, not as they are. We see people as we are, not as they are. I will repeat that. We see people as we are, not as they are. So we see them according to our own lenses. We use our own lenses. We use our own. When I talk about the lenses, I'm talking about our experiences, our background, the things we have been through, the people that have hurt you. So whenever we meet people, we are looking at them through those lenses. And that does not mean that person is what you see. No. You understand? What you see may not be the truth. Because the map is not the territory. What you see may not be reality. What you see may be reality to you according to the interpretations that are already, the internal representations that are already on the inside of you. Because somebody, you know, you trusted somebody and they hurt you. So whenever you see somebody, everybody is untrustworthy. You look at them from that prism. So it's like you paint everybody with the same brush. And as Christians, as leaders, and as servants of God, we cannot do that. We cannot paint everybody with the same brush. You understand? We cannot do that. What do? We offer them Christ's love. Because love, Jesus loves them, they're his children. Offer them his love. Romans 13:8 says, owe no one anything. Owe no one anything except to love each other. Except to do what? To love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. This is the second scripture that we're talking about that talks about the law. When we talk about the law, we are not talking about just the Ten Commandments. Because Jesus Christ, when he came, he taught about the two commandments. He says, love your God with all your strength, with all your knowledge, with everything that is in you. And then love your neighbor as yourself. And he says all the other laws hang on those two. So whenever you see in the Bible, most of the writings of Paul, you'll find him, whenever he talks about love, he says, when you love, you are fulfilling the law. So the Bible is saying, owe no one anything, if possible, except to love each other. Except to love each other. For the one who loves, he says, the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. Amen. So give love to others. Give love to others. Remember, that love that you're giving them is not yours. It has been given to you. Remember, the Bible says, freely given, freely give. Freely give. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10 to 11. Chapter 4, rather, 1 John chapter 4, verse 10 to 11. If you're writing, you can write that down. The Bible says, in this is love. This is John, the beloved apostle, writing. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. What does that scripture mean? It means that God did not send Jesus Christ to be the propitiation of our sins based on our love for him. No. No. He sent Jesus to be the propitiation of our sin based on his love for us. You understand? Because the Bible says Christ loved us even while we were what? Yet sinners. Even when we were yet dirty, he still loved us. He still picked me when I was still dirty. He still loved me when I was still dirty. Do you understand? Heck, even when at times I, like a pig, I go back into the dirt, he still loves me. Do you understand? He still loves you. You may have messed up on Thursday, you may have messed up on Tuesday. He still loves you. His love for you has nothing to do with what you do. He just loves you. Period. Are we together? Therefore, based on that, in verse 11, he continues, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Do you understand that? Remember, he has qualified that in verse 10, saying his love for us was not predicated on us first loving him. No, he did not wait for us. He did not wait for us to go to him, remember. He did not, we normally sing that song, you did not wait for me to come to you. He didn't wait for us to do that. Now there's somebody somewhere right now who's waiting for somebody to come to them. Not until they come and say sorry. Not until they come and kneel. Not until you have no... Why are we putting those conditions? You understand? You are a human being. He is a human being. You have been loved by God. Give the love of God, the love that Christ loved for you. I mean, loved you with. Let that be the love that you give. Be a giver of love. Do you understand? Some people out there, they say, I gave up on people a long time ago. Why? Based on what they did to him or her. You know, that is wrong. A Christian must never say that. Do you know why? Because Jesus Christ never gives up on you. He never. What right do I have to give up on others? To write them off. You say, when you say, I've given up on people, it's like you have written them off. God never does that. He loves. Even those guys who are still drinking right now in bars, he loves them. He loves them. When he was sending his son, you know, to come and be the propitiation of our sins, he had them in mind. He still loves them. He loves those women who are in the brothels right now. He loves those drunkards. He loves them. You understand? Now, for us, when we come into the house of God, we begin to become over self-sanctified, you know, sanctimonious. We forget that we are still people and God still loves us. And because he loves us, he says, we must love one another. In verse 4, he says, for no one has ever seen God. And then he says, if we love one another, God abides in us. In other words, if we do not love one another, God does not what? God does not abide in us. Because God is love, you know. So if there's no love in me, then there's no God in me. Are we together? So if we love one another, this is 1 John chapter 4, verse 12. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. God's love is perfected in you and me when I love my brother and my sister in the Lord. That's how God's love is perfected in you. Hallelujah. So Christ loved so much that he laid down his life for the lost world. That is how much he loved. And he loved, and he laid down his life for a world that did not love him. Can you imagine that? Are you able to do that, child of God? Are you able to lay your life down for people who do not love you? Do you know that we enjoy Christianity today because of men and women, especially men who left countries like the UK and went on missions in Africa, where they did not have a brother, they did not have a sister, but they went because they were taking the love of God, the gospel. And most of them most of their graves are in Africa. They died there because of malaria and all that. That love that they had, these people, they didn't know, nobody knew them. But that they carried that love, and they gave it to others. You understand? 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. If you're writing, you can write that down as well. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 14. John had the revelation of love. I think it's because he was the beloved of Jesus. He says, what does he say? We know that we have passed out of death into life. We know that we have passed out of where? Out of death into life. How? Because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Mercy, Lord. How do we know that a Christian has passed from death to life? We know that the scripture says, we know that we have passed out from death into life. We are into the life, into the life. Jesus Christ says, I am the life. We are into him. We get into him because we love the brothers. It is love that qualifies us to be alive. He said, whoever does not love abides in death. Can you imagine abiding in death? Just ponder that. This evening we refuse that in Jesus' mind. That's not our portion. Hallelujah. Love for others, listen, love for others gives the Christian assurance that he belongs to God and has eternal life. Do you know that we have eternal life while we are here? We have eternal life when we are here. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever does what? Loves him or believes in him shall not die but have what? Everlasting life. The moment you say, I believe, I receive you, Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior, you get eternal life. But what qualifies that eternal life in you is the love for others. Because he's loved you, you've got to pass it on. The love, if we keep the love on our own, then we are not good Christians. You see, we get the good news and we keep it to ourselves. We need to pass it on. So what qualifies a Christian or gives a Christian assurance of eternal life is his love for others. Because he says, if you hate, if you do not love, then you abide in death. Did you hear that? 1 John chapter 3, verse 17 to 18. You can write that down as well. Or if you can open there, it's fine. We are talking about offering Christ's love to others. That is O. The L was love. Look for the best in others. We are spelling the word love, you know. So letter O means offer Christ's love to others. Loving others, as simple as that. So he says in verse 17 of 1 John chapter 3. Do not look, I hope you're not in the Gospel of John. Yeah? We're in the letter of John, chapter 3, verse 17 to 18. And he says, but if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, now he's teaching us how to love, how to show love. If anyone has the world's goods, the world has its goods, and heaven has its own. But whilst we are still in the world, we have world goods. And sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him. Closes his heart. The question is your heart open this morning, this evening? Is my heart open this evening? If he sees his brother in need and yet closes his heart against him, he asks a question. How does God's love abide in him? Did you read that? You see somebody, you have something. You have maybe a half a kilo of sugar, or you have some soap, or you have some bread. That is the world's goods. And yet you see a brother who is in need, and you close your heart. You close your heart against him. And yet God has opened his heart to you. God has opened his heart to you and I. You remember, it's like this, when Peter asked Jesus Christ how many times he should forgive his fellow brother. He says, is it 77 times? And Jesus Christ says, 70 times 7. And he gives him an example. He gives an example of this man who owed 1,000 denarii. And the creditor came to sell him and his family. That's how much he owed. If the debt, can be equivalent to selling me and selling Apostle Jesus and all our children, that is a hefty, bill. And then this man fell on his knees and said, Lord, have mercy upon me. Give me some more time. And the man said, he forgave him. He forgave him. So the moment he gets out, the Bible says that he finds somebody who owed him 100 denarii. You can't even compare it to what he had just been forgiven. And the same words this guy uses are the same words he used with his master. And for him, he refuses to forgive him. And when the others heard about it, they went back to the master, and the master put him back in prison because he did not pass on the love. The compassion that he was given, he did not pass it on. Do you understand? We have been forgiven of our sins because of the love of Christ. How is it possible that we're not forgiving others of their trespasses? Yet God has opened his heart for us. That's why he says, Jesus Christ teaches, if you do not forgive others, so your heavenly Father will also not forgive you. So your forgiveness or your love from God is predicated upon your ability to pass it on. So in this portion of scripture, you have got something. A brother is in need, but then you close your heart to him. Then he says, how possible, he says, is God's love able to abide in you? Think about that. Then in verse 18, he continues, say, little children, let us not love in word, or talk. We know, I'll pray for you. And yet you have money in your pocket or something. So do not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. That is how we offer Christ's love to others. We offer Christ's love to others by opening our hearts. Is your heart open? Is my heart open this evening? If it's closed, if it has been closed to somebody, today we repent. Father, I am sorry that I have closed my heart, yet you have opened yours to me. I am sorry that I have not offered your love to others. Hallelujah. The next one is visualize what Christ can do for others. Visualize, see it. If you see the weakness in this person or the badness in this person, see that God is able to turn it around, to remove it. You understand? The reason we keep loving them is we know that it's not us who change people, it's Christ who changes them. So we must visualize what God can do in others. Listen, 1 Peter verse 4, 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 8. If you have your Bibles, you can open there, or if you have your phone, you can go there as well. What does he say? 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 8. Anybody got it? You're there? I'll read. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 8. Hallelujah. I'll wait for you to get there. If you're there, you say amen. Amen. He says, above all, keep loving one another earnestly. Keep. It's not saying that you love today and then you stop. No, you see, keep on. Love is not an event. No. An event, you say today, on Saturday we have a conference, okay? The Saturday comes, the conference is held, and it goes. It was this, the next day you refer to it in the past tense. Oh, yesterday we had a conference. No, love is not like that. Love is continual. Do you remember God's love is what? Is everlasting. It's never ending. Remember what we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8. It says, love never ends. So it says, keep loving one another earnestly. Not just love, but earnestly, with power, with energy, with strength. Love is not passive. Love is hard. Love is work, is hard work. Paul speaks of love as the labor of your love. It's hard work. Keep loving. Keep loving one another earnestly. Why? He says, since love covers a multitude of sins. Love does what? Covers. Love does not expose. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 and 6, it says, oh, Ruth, love does not insist on its way. It's not irritable or resentful. James chapter 5, verse 20, you can write those verses down. You can go back and choose the card and read them later. James chapter 5, verse 20, he says, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Love covers a multitude of sins. That's why I say, why is that so? It's because you and I are not sin removers. We do not have the power to remove the sins. So we keep loving this person, knowing that as long as we keep loving him, the rest that we see in him, that or her, that is not right, we give it to God. God is the one who takes away the sins of the world. Remember John, when he was at baptizing River Jordan, Jesus Christ comes and he says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So we visualize and say, okay, this person is struggling with this. This person is struggling with that. But we keep loving them with the love of Christ, knowing and visualizing that Christ is able to do something in their life, to turn their lives around. Visualize it. See, look at them as though they have already overcome it. Not by power, not by my strength, but by the Spirit of the Lord. You know, love sees possibilities. Love sees possibilities in people. You understand? Love sees see possibilities in your children, see possibilities in your spouses, see possibilities in your fellow ministers, see possibilities in your colleagues at work, see possibilities in your boss. That boss that is like a taskmaster, see possibilities in him. As long as you're still in that job, see possibilities in him. You understand? See possibilities in her. Hope that God will change them. Hope that Christ will help them. Hallelujah. Why? Because love knows that by Christ's power, every person can be a blessing. By the power of Christ, that person who is still dirty can become a blessing. Because you know what? Today you are a blessing, but yesteryear, or many years ago, you were not like that. But there's somebody who loved you, who looked beyond the dirt. I remember, you know, when I was drinking in a bar in some place in Africa. When Apostle Jesus went at that place, and she saw beyond that. She saw beyond the tables that were that was covered with beer. You see, in every drunkard, there is an apostle, there is a pastor, there is a preacher, there is an evangelist. In every person that you see out there, there is something in them. And that's what we should love and continue to believe God to work on them. They can be a blessing, those people that you see. So don't give up on them. That person can turn around. Christ can touch them. Hallelujah. So love acts on possibilities. Love steps in to win others for Christ. The reason we do not win people for Christ, you know why? Most of us is because we have already relegated them to hell. So we are, those ones are finished. So we don't even waste our energy to preach to them. An evangelist is a person who sees the good in the bad. A Christian who loves is a person who sees the good in the bad. So they exercise prayer on this person. They have faith that God can do stuff. They have so God can change. God can change. Hallelujah. As we finish, because of time, we have about 9 minutes. So we exemplify the Spirit of Christ to others. We show the Spirit of Christ to others. We show it. We show it. Romans chapter 10, verse 12. Romans chapter 10. Verse 12. Are you there? Did I say, what did I say? Chapter 12, verse 10. It's Romans 12, verse 10. Sorry. 12, 10. Apologies. 12, 10. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Hallelujah. What does he say? He says, love one another with brotherly affection. Love one another with brotherly affection. And then he says, outdo one another in showing honor. I need to be able to outdo you in showing honor. Did you hear that? Christ is kind. Christ is compassionate, and Christ is understanding. So you and I ought to be kind, ought to be compassionate, and ought to be understanding. That is how we will be able to outshow one another, or to outdo one another in honoring one another. That's how we are able to love one another with brotherly affection. You understand? Love emulates Christ. Love shows Christ. Love displays Christ. We are to manifest His Spirit each day, the Spirit of love. You remember the fruit of the Spirit? Do you know that in those seeds that are in the fruit of the Spirit, love is one of them? So we need to exemplify the Spirit of love to others, which is the Spirit of Christ. Christ is love. Hallelujah. And when we do that, others will respond to that Spirit when they see the fruits of the Spirit in us. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22-23. As a matter of fact, love is the first to be mentioned. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's the first thing to be mentioned. Then we continue with joy, peace, and the rest. So you cannot jump love and say you have the fruit of the Spirit, because it is the first one. You've got to go from P1 to P2 to P. It's the first fruit. It's the first there. It's the first seed. Because when you talk about the fruit, it's like when I normally picture something like a passion fruit. You know? passion fruit. Passion fruit has got many seeds in it. So that fruit of the Spirit is like that passion fruit. And those all, the love, the joy, peace, all these are seeds in that fruit. So you cannot have one and not have the other, and then say that you have the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. Hallelujah. We have just spelled that word love. So go out there and utilize God's love to others. Even in this season, you can still do it. When we are still being social distanced, you can still do it. You can still get on the phone. You can still encourage somebody. You can send somebody a voice message, a voice note. Is that what you call them? A message of encouraging them. There are people who have disappeared. They have disappeared off our radars. They are out there. They maybe are struggling and going through thick and thin. You know, let's show them some love. Amen. Don't give up on people. Let's not give up on people. That's not our agenda. That's not our mandate. God does not give up on his people. So you and I cannot give up on his people, because he loves us. He's got an open heart for us. We too must have an open heart for others. May your love for Christ abound, but also may your love for his saints, all his saints, abound. Amen. Hallelujah. As we finish, do you have love? After listening to this message, do you have love? If the question is, I'm not sure, then we are going to pray for more love right now. If you're like me, join me in these 2 minutes as we pray for more love. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. For you are love. You are the embodiment of love. Loving us first, my Father God, and sending your only begotten Son, that we may have life and have it in abundance, my God. You loved us even before we loved you. You loved me when I was still drinking. You loved me when I was still doing all sorts of stuff. You loved me and died for me at that Calvary. King of Kings, you want us to show your love to others, my Father, to show that spirit of love to others, my Father God. King of Kings, I realize that, Father Lord, my heart has been closed to others, King of Kings. And this evening, Father, we are praying that you open our hearts, that we may love like you love, that we may love unconditionally, that we may love each other affectionately, with brotherly affection, that we may love each other not only in words, my Father Lord, but in action, oh Father, and deed, my Father, and in truth, Lord of glory. King of Kings, we resign from hypocritical love, my Father God. We resign, King of Kings, oh Father Lord, from this cliche of love, my Father Lord. May you give us the true meaning of love, that we may love one another. Because that's the only way that we know that we have crossed from death to life. Because you say in your word, if we hate and do not love, then we abide in death. Today, we are crossing over in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Give us the love. Give us the energy. Give us the power to love the unlovables. Because you say in your word, if we love those who love us, then we are not any different from other people. What makes us different is that we love the unlovables. To love those who cause us headache. Loving those who abuse us. Loving those who spit on us. Loving us, my Father God. Loving them, King of Kings, like you love them. Father, it's not easy. But this evening we are praying that you give us a spirit of love. Fill us with love, that we may be a loving people, we may be a loving church, we may be a loving Christians, in Jesus' mighty name. Father, fill us, fill our cups until they are overflowing. Fill our cups until they are overflowing, in Jesus' mighty name, that we may not only receive your love, but we may also be able to pass on your love. Make us conduits of your love. Because without love, Father, we cannot pray for people. Without love, we cannot intercede for sinners. We need that love. The love for the broken, the love for the sinners, the love for the hurting, the love for the dirty, in the name above every other name. Father, we give you the praise, for it is done. Thank you, Father Lord, for infusing us with your love. We give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And somebody shouts, amen and amen. Hallelujah. child of God, God loves you so that you may be a conduit of his love to others. Hallelujah. People around you should feel the love of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for congregating. I know that God has touched you. And go back and read those scriptures again and dig them and learn more about them. God, the Holy Spirit of God will speak to you. And if there's anybody that you want, the Lord is leading you to go and, you know, and make amends, please, just be humble and do it. If it's maybe some of us is our parents, some of us our siblings, some of them are not even in this country, just get on the phone and, you know, and call. Let's pass on that love. Amen. May God bless you. Thank you so much for being here. And I'm going to pray for you right now.
Thank you so much for listening to this sermon, and I know you've been blessed. For more information about Shiloh Tabernacle and other sermons, please visit our website www.shiloh.org.uk. And don't forget to follow us on all our social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Shiloh LDN. Once again, that's at Shiloh LDN. You've been listening to Shiloh Tabernacle London, changing lives, building dreams. Until next time, God bless.